Good morning, DFW. It is Sean and RJ on this hump day edition.
Hump day
of Sean and RJ, and we do not have one Sean Sharif with us.
So is this a lesson he's trying to teach, or did he oversleep? Or, like, I mean, because this is about the time I texted you yesterday.
Yeah, I think it was like 6:02 yesterday that you texted and said, oh, crap, I slept through my alarm, or I didn't set my alarm, or whatever, I just woke up. Well, Sean's not here. He did not sleep in, though. He has whatever Bobby had from last week, as Bobby is patient zero around here. He's trying to pin the blame on me, but I have absolutely nothing wrong with me. I got, you know, little bit of a kind of a lump in the throat a little bit, you know, more of the roof of my mouth. Sarah had the same thing. Now, her roof of the mouth was bruised for a different reason, I think. But for me, I think it was just a little sickness. But I'm over that now. I mowed the lawn yesterday. No MOVID.
Oh, good.
Okay. No mask either. I don't wear a mask when I mow. I showered immediately after, scrubbed the beard, got all the allergens out, trimmed the nose hairs, got all the allergens out. But Sean's out with what appears to be Bobby's strep throat.
Yep. Got to stop kissing.
We really have to. It's like, you know, we're watching the Aaron Hernandez documentary, and we're just kind of getting too into it.
Gosh, dude, that is not enough. We'll talk about that later. That is
what a name for last night's episode, which we'll get into coming up here.
Maybe the greatest name of any single television episode in history.
6:40. We'll talk about the Aaron Hernandez doc from last night, but CeeDee Lamb spoke to reporters.
Once Sadarian Lamb did. He popped up in front of the media, talked yesterday. Dak Prescott did not. There was a little bit of a discussion or a little bit of chatter about, oh, Dak isn't talking today. You know, what's that mean? Apparently, he's not mad or anything else. He told reporters, he's like, yeah, just short schedule week. I'll talk Thursday. We'll get set. Like, I'll talk Thursday night after the game. He's like, but just with the schedule the way it is, I'm not going to do media today because I've just got a lot of work to cram in. And so Dak isn't talking this week, but CeeDee Lamb did after he missed his media availability or his media responsibilities on Sunday night. And so we got to hear from him finally about the body language, about the issues, everything else. And Sean Sharif texted us last night and said, ooh, this is an L for Bobby.
Oh, yeah.
This is a big Bobby L, what CeeDee Lamb had to say. So let's just go down the list here, Peyton. Starting with cut five, CeeDee Lamb on the role he played in Sunday's loss.
Obviously, honestly, I got to be truthful to myself, and I played a part in that loss, a big part, honestly, and nor did my body language nor attitude approaching the situation help the situation or the outcome of the game, but I feel like obviously giving them an extra opportunity or some leverage to gain momentum in the red zone was big on us, well, big on myself, obviously, and then us as a whole, as offense, we gotta score, capitalize on every opportunity that we get. And, then we'll win again.
So Sean and I were, you remember the other day, Monday, when I was defending CeeDee Lamb, or not defending CeeDee Lamb, just trying to say, I'm not going to kill him for it. I'm giving him a pass, essentially. Is Sean was like, what's the angle? I haven't figured out the angle here. And Monday night we were on the phone talking about something, and he had said Lamb came up and he was like, what is this? He's like, nah, like we're off the air. What is the thing with your Lamb defense here on this one? And to me, it's what you just heard right there, which is I think that generally when he screws up or when he doesn't handle something the right way, CeeDee Lamb is really good about recognizing when he has done wrong. And CeeDee Lamb's really good about quickly taking ownership of it and apologizing for it and correcting it. And so to me, I'm willing to give him more grace because of that whenever these sort of things pop up. And to me, I think that's a perfectly acceptable way to do it. Stand up there and go, I played a part in the loss. My body language didn't help. I understand all these things. It's going to be better. That's exactly what you want to see.
You know, if you were to just look at his role in the game on Sunday, I mean, I think you can make a really big case that you could tell early on in a lot of these games what CD you have.
Sure.
Temperament-wise.
Mm-hmm.
on the field, I mean, he could go receptionless in the first quarter and still have a great game, but you might lose him mentally.
Yeah.
And not as bad as like you know, like maybe a T.O. was or some other players around the league that, like, if you don't get them going early, you lose them for the entire game. I don't feel that way with CD.
No, I think that he has a tendency to let his emotions distract him. And I don't think it's in a Odell Beckham Jr. sense, where Odell Beckham Jr. a lot of times felt petulant. CD's to me feels like just an intense competitiveness that overwhelms him almost at times. And it frustrates him. And CD talked about, cut six, how he carried himself on the sideline.
Obviously, just stay composed throughout the situation, no matter how I'm feeling. I mean, the feelings are going to be the feelings throughout the whole game, right? Feelings go up and down. And we treat this mental, we have this mental conditioning every week. And truly understanding and using that, my practice habits, and actually those were one of the moments my fault, where it could have came into fruition. And obviously it went the opposite direction, and nor was it good for myself or the team. It's very detrimental, excuse me. And I'll make up for it.
Does that sound like somebody who has been coached, knowing what he was going to have come up in this situation?
Oh,
or do
sure.
you think that sounds part of that? But do you think it also sounds like genuine, hey, I screwed up? That's what I respect. But when you compare the two, young CD to young Zeke, for instance, young Zeke, when he used to get frustrated or there was a temper issue or something like that happened, I never felt like there was real ownership of it.
Yeah.
I don't think that's the case with CD. And I think that he's just still a young person. Forget a player. He is a young human still learning how to deal with, like, the emotions of things not going the way that you feel they need to. And that competitiveness, he's still trying to figure it out.
I have the feeling that, he was absolutely coached in this. There's no doubt about
sure.
that. I mean, I don't think any PR guy is going to, after what happened in the narrative and the
or agent or whoever.
Yeah. They were never going to let them go out and talk to the media without being prepared what to say. And that's why, that's a large reason why I do tend to not care what players and coaches say to the media.
There's like the Dak approach with Jerry. I stopped listening to what he said a long time ago.
Yeah, like I know that it's, and this isn't a sports, this is politics. Like when someone's talking to me, I just assume they're telling me what they want to convey, not necessarily the truth.
Yeah, I get that. Didn't you feel like talking to him in training camp a couple years ago, though? Didn't you feel like this is a more authentic response to about everything we asked him almost than you typically get out of players? Like, there was no reason for him to say some of the things he did to us.
No, yeah, for sure. Absolutely. I assume most players are, and coaches and politicians, I assume they're just lying to me. Like, that's just my that's my defense mechanism. They're all frauds, right?
Yeah.
I just assume going into it. So I take it with a grain of salt.
I look at it as the other aspect here is,
like, this Jerry yesterday told us, yeah, you absolutely could blame me. Does Jerry really believe that? Does Jerry really think? No, Jerry's never thought that.
Does he think there's?
Does he think he deserves blame because, yes, he's the owner, so absolutely. But does he think he did anything wrong, or does he think that?
Right. Like, I think he absolutely believes the buck stops with me. I'm
right.
fine saying that
yeah.
I get everything, that, right. that I get all the heat for it. But does he think that there's really blame to give right now? That's maybe what it is. But CD was asked about this idea of, when you're trying to make sure that you're not, you know, being toxic on the sideline, how do you balance that with still trying to keep that competitive fire?
Man, just being a professional about this whole situation, understanding it's a long game. But as for me and my performance, I expect a lot out of myself, more than anyone could put on me. And quite honestly, I failed myself, and obviously I failed the team just as far as producing and being that game breaker player for the team, and obviously the guy that they can lean on. And I kind of let the game get to my head a little bit, but in the same sense, I knew what I can do, I knew what I bring to the table, and I know what I can do on that field. So with that being said, going forward, there shall be a difference.
You hear that language you used at the beginning of that clip, though? Just being a professional. What was the words Dak used to the, at the podium? Some guys need to be more professional. I think it's pretty clear who Dak was talking to after the game on Sunday with his comments where he said some guys need to be more professional. And it sounds like CD took it because he's turning that same language out when he's talking about it.
Well, now it's just a matter of, you know, being able to harness and control your emotions.
Yeah. Right?
That's what a lot of playing wide receiver is anyway. Because you can't, you know, you're not going to get the ball on every play. You're going to go, some weeks you'll get 14 targets, the next week you get 6. I mean, it just depends on how they're playing you.
Yeah, and he's one who, again, same sort of question that existed there. I don't want to potentially tamp down any sort of that edge that you need being on that competitive island just across from a guy the way receivers are by burning too much of that. It's like we talk about Sam Williams. Like when you say you want toughness, you want guys who are a little mean, you want stuff like that, but you don't want the, you know, the roughing the passer or the late hit or any of that.
Defensively, I want guys who are borderline, like they're borderline nice guys, but also like you could see how every one of them could potentially be a murderer.
Yeah, like that was a path that could have gone on.
You can see that. You
know? Yeah, like the Aaron Hernandez documentary, like we'll talk about
that's,
it.
That's
like you see where the point was, where it's like, this you could have been a really good linebacker. It's like
Urban Meyer, he's either going to go Hall of Famer in prison.
Exactly.
It's kind of what you want out of your defensive players.
But with Sam Williams, it's like you do have a concern of how much do you say, stop doing this, like you want to communicate that without killing the competitive intensity that you feel like gives you an advantage. And I think that's one thing the Cowboys are trying to balance with CD here. Because that sounds like Dak, we'll skip over one more cut, Peyton. Because that sounds like he's addressing what Dak said about being a professional, things like that, the question came up, are you and Dak on the same page?
No, we understand the urgency. And that's between us. We talk about it every day, every night. And our relationship has, if anything, gotten stronger. Don't let what's out there for you. We're brothers to the end. We know that we all we got. And I tip my hat off to him. I got the utmost respect for him. And that's, I look at him as a brother. With that being said, everything is going to come out. The energy, the passion, the love, the fight. We'll make up in the end. No craziness now.
No craziness.
No craziness.
Now.
There you go.
Now, Chop, it's... Yep. When you look at, I was talking about this last night with Broadus when we recorded a brand new Love of the Star, which I believe is out today, this morning. When you look at Dak stepping up to the podium and talking about professionalism and CD trying to clearly smooth things over and say, hey, don't let the narrative fool you. We're good. Jordan Lewis talking about, we got to be pros. We got to be detailed. DeMarcus Lawrence talking about, very seriously talking after the game about how upset everybody is. Doesn't it feel like the veterans on this team who have been around bad culture before, is it like they almost sense we're on a teetering point here where this might go a certain direction if we don't clean it up quick?
I could see it. I mean, you could tell when it's 53 guys and 53 cabs going to the game.
Yeah.
You know, you could tell that no one's riding together. No one's friends. You could tell when there's animosity. You could tell when they're all playing for themselves. And I think it especially shows on defense where they're playing for themselves. And you're not maintaining your gap discipline or integrity.
Hey, gap integrity is important, man.
It is. I'm sure. Yeah, it is important. But so is rush of the passer, Micah. All right? That's what they need to be having him do, not drop it into coverage. Okay, I don't want to hear it. But, yeah, I could see how if you're a veteran here, you've been here a while. You're Zach, if you're Dak, you can see it starting to teeter.
Yeah, this is an important game coming up.
Oh, yeah, it is. And we will get into plenty of tomorrow night's game. That's right, it's a Thursday night game.
Woo!
And we'll get into that as the show rolls on. But we're going to go around the NFL. Someone finally says it about Travis Kelce next on The Fan.